If you happen to hear sounds that seem like they would otherwise not have a place in my content, that is because I'm sitting poolside and this pool has a lot to say. Does a lot of gurgling and gurgling. I don't really spend a lot of time outside, so it might be a regular pool thing, but how would I know if the indoors are my best friend? Good morning, good night, and good welcome to the Jamie Grace podcast. This is part two of Soul Soil, a special series featuring a lot of incredibly beautiful and wise and incredible women who are sharing their thoughts, and their heart and their wisdom when it comes to the fruit of the spirit and our emotional wellness and our mental health. When I think of certain fruits of the spirit, especially gentleness, which I very intentionally included that one more than once, but when I hear the word gentle a lot. I hear gentle parenting talked about a lot, and I think as a mom, and especially as one with a bachelor's in child needs development, you guys might be, you know, expecting like, oh, this might be Jamie Grace's full opinion or dissertation on gentle parenting. And it's not, right? I mean, I have never come across I rarely come across a parenting method that I don't take something positive from, right? Even if I don't take 100% of it away, I can most always look at something and be like, oh, here's the positive side to it. That's what I'll take from it and keep moving. But when I think about gentle parenting, it's hard for me to like fully encompass, and I not to sound all preacher's kiddish, but it is who I is. When I think about it, all I can think about is the fact that gentleness is a fruit of the spirit. And so when it comes to how I parent my kiddo, I'm thinking about being a gentle parent, but also a patient parent, a kind parent, a loving parent, a joyful parent. It's all in one, right? Gentleness does not exist without the other fruits of the spirit. And when I think about the kind of wife that I hope that I am, and the kind of wife that I strive to be, and the sister, and the friend, and the daughter, and the cousin, and the neighbor, the artist, the influencer, if you will, that I am and that I hope to be, I think of all of the fruit of the spirit. You know, I try not to just only focus on peace or gentleness or just one of or two of them. I try to focus on all of them. And when we're talking about our emotional wellness, right, and our mental health, I think it's important to do that as well. I try to take, at least a couple times a month to just read through the fruit of the spirit again. I've had seasons of life where I've had them up on the wall in the house, but sometimes for me that can become so routine that I kind of start to forget to look. So I'll have like, oh, hello, motorcycle, like some intentional time where I just go and read the fruit of the spirit and just check in with myself. Like, how am I treating myself, right? Am I being kind to myself? That's a big one. Kindness is sometimes hard to be. It's hard to be kind to ourselves sometimes because we know what our goals are and we know what we want to achieve professionally and financially and physically and healthfully and mentally and all these things, and then we see where we add up based on where we want to be. So it's hard to be kind to ourselves and be like, oh, am I even doing a good job in that area, right? It's hard sometimes to have peace with ourselves. If you guys watched part one, then you already heard Nona talk about that, when it's like hard to live at peace with anyone else when we don't have peace with ourselves. My cousin, My Unique with Instagram for Believers, she talked about that too, of like, when you're able to love other people, you're able to live at peace with them. But that doesn't happen unless you love who God has you, like, unless you love where God has you. And it's wild, because I think a lot of times we think about like, how can I love God and love other people, which are beautiful things. Like, I think loving God is the best of the best. And loving other people is oftentimes just what happens when we do love God well. But we have to really love ourselves too. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to be patient with ourselves and be at peace with ourselves and be gentle with ourselves. We have to be faithful as well when it comes to ourselves. Like, when it comes to our mental health, and we think, okay, God has given me the privilege to know about this awesome therapist, so I need to be faithful and commit to these 6 months of therapy that I committed to. I need to be faithful and commit to these 6 months of physical therapy because this physical injury that I have, my body needs to heal, and when my body can heal, my mind can heal. I need to be faithful when it comes to the vitamins that I need to take, or the healthy eating habits, the balanced diet, the vitamins, I think I already said vitamins, the medication, whatever it might be. Like, we have to take care of ourselves. Self-care is not selfish. Community care is included in self-care. And God created us, so God wants us to take care of ourselves. That's a beautiful thing. And so I'm grateful to be able to not only just be on this journey of just continually like being like conscious and like mindful of like, how am I taking care of myself? How am I taking care of the body, the mind, and the soul that God has given me? But also like, how can all of that then turn around and help me be a better wife and a better mom, a better sister, a better friend, and then also a better songwriter, a better creative, a better artist, and even have better relationship with you guys and better connection with you guys. And so it all starts with the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and the greatest of all of them is love, and God's love is the greatest of all. So there you go, guys. I just solved the world. I'm just kidding, but I'm happy to be able to share this Soul Soil journey with you guys. We'll probably do it again maybe in the fall or something like that. I'll be sure to sit poolside again so that you guys can hear the gurgle of it all, because I know that is just such a joy to everyone's spirit. But I'm excited about this journey. I am absolutely loving getting to do this, and I'm just thankful that you guys are along with me. So enjoy the second half of Soul Soil. I know that you're going to be encouraged. I shared episode 1 of Soul Soil a few weeks ago, almost a month ago to the date at this point, and I was very much anticipating sharing part 2 with you all. I had most everything that I needed to make it happen, and I started on a month-long road trip with my family, and a few days into it, my production gear just stopped working. It was really frustrating. Everything is solved now, which is super great. But then I started to face some health issues, both physically and, it's hard for me to even say this, but mentally as well. I don't shy away from the fact that I face mental health challenges. I'm doing an entire series on emotional wellness and mental health, and the entire podcast is about pop culture and mental health. But sometimes it's just harder to be real about the fact that my mental health still affects me to this day. And what's especially difficult for me is that I am still full-time in the entertainment business as a songwriter and artist, and I get really insecure about the fact that who knows who is listening, and it's like, oh, you know, we knew she couldn't handle it, or we're not gonna book her for this show, or, you know, she's too much, and she's just too much. That's the phrase that actually comes up a lot, and she's disappointed us, and she let us down. Those are a lot of the fears that happen in my head, which, sure, some of it could be because I'm human and I have let people down and I'm not enough for people, because that's what Jesus is, not me, not my job. But also, some of that is because I have anxiety, and the story that my anxiety often tells me, as opposed to the truth that I should be embracing, is rooted in just the overwhelm of not being able to meet expectations and not being good enough and not even trying to be perfect, but just, I don't know, man. Well, I do know. I feel like I just said it and then I tried to say it again a different way, and then maybe we should just not. But if you're new to this, good morning, good night, and welcome to the Jamie Grace Podcast. Life is beautiful, and it is also challenging at times, and I'm grateful for the people in my life that help me to carry on in the difficult times and help me to make wise choices to take good steps for my own health. So I did take a little bit of an unexpected break, which is not the first time it's happened on the podcast. We're all aware of that, but I am glad to be back.
You'll hear in this second episode, and then also in the first half, if you'll go back and listen to that one too, you'll hear from a lot of the women that I do call, or that I reach out to, or that I reread their books or their blog posts when I am having a difficult time. And especially when it comes to mental health and emotional wellness, something that I crave and need and just chase relentlessly is peace. It's something that is just sometimes hard for me to grasp and hold on to. And so it was really important to me these last few weeks to spend time with someone that I know is really good at finding their own quiet space and finding peace. And that is the world-renowned poet, the incredible artist, and my big sister, Morgan Harper Nichols. So I reached out to her in the midst of her walk working on some wildly exciting projects. She's always so busy, but like I said, she is always so good at knowing when to take time for things that need time. And there's never been a time in my life where she's like, no matter how busy she is, that I couldn't call her and say, I'm in a weird spot. I'm going through a lot. And so I wanted her to just get to share, even if just a little bit of her heart. And I'm excited that she is going to kick off this part two as she talks about peace. Also, really quick, I don't think that she is going to tell you guys this, but she has a book called Peace as a Practice, and it's quite new, quite recent, if you need more of this wisdom in your life. So here is Morgan Harper Nichols.
When I think of peace, I actually think a lot about nature, because when I was a kid, I remember first hearing the song, It Is Well With My Soul, which says, when peace like a river attendeth my way. And since I was a kid, I just really started to think of peace as a river. And as I've gotten older, I've really maintained that way of thinking because, one, I'm an artist and a poet, so I like to think about things creatively. But also, I just can't help but feel like rivers and what we can learn from the flow of rivers is not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that God has placed these rivers and woven these rivers through the world so we can see a beautiful visual example of what it looks like to be able to slow down and breathe and accept that everything is passing, and it's not easy, but there's a river that flows through. And as hard as that can be, when we slow down and we seek that river, we can find, wow, I can just be here for a moment and I can breathe and I can just be grounded right here in the present moment, no matter what. And to me, that is peace. And that's what that has looked like in my life. And I also try to encourage other people to look for these beautiful divine images in the world, whether that's a sunset or it's the roots of a tree, to look for these images that can remind you that even here, there is still beauty, there is still growth, there is still an opportunity to just be still and be present in grace.
I have a confession. My friend Kristen might pronounce her name LaValley, but it also might be Lavalie. And look, if there's any kids listening, please, I'm not telling you as a kid from an adult to make friends on the internet and everything's gonna be okay, but I do have a confession. Me and Kristen have been internet friends for a long time, and there is a closeness, there's a friendship, but I have no idea how to say her last name. But I do know that she's a writer and a speaker who regularly talks about all things faith, culture, and wherever those two intersect. Through her social media posts and her other content, she has genuinely taught me how to practice self-control in my everyday life and the media that I consume. Kristen lives in Massachusetts with her husband and their beautiful 5 children, and I cannot wait for you all to hear from her.
Oh, hey everyone. I am so excited to be with you today talking about this stuff. These topics are so close to my heart, and it's such an honor to be able to share a part of my story and what I've learned and how I've grown with you. So thank you for letting me talk to you for a few minutes. I have a few things going on in my life that are constantly combating for my joy and peace. I've overcome a lot, but I'm overcoming even more, even as we speak. I have an anxiety disorder. I have a panic disorder. I have PTSD from several traumatic events that happened in my life as an adult. And I struggle with seasonal depression and also struggle with postpartum depression. So there is a lot that has been going on. Sometimes some things are worse than others. Like sometimes the anxiety is worse. Sometimes the panic is worse. They all come in waves. Sometimes I can see the waves coming. Sometimes I can't. I'm sure there are many of you who can relate to that kind of. Sometimes I'm prepared and then sometimes it just knocks me flat on the ground and it's not fun. But depending on your personality, you'll have a different physical and emotional reaction when you hear the words or the phrase self-control. Some people, some personalities hear self-control and you feel at ease because you like to be in control. You know things make sense when you're in control, even when it comes to self-control. So you hear self-control and you're like, yes, please, I can control myself. I can control the world around me and I can control myself. If I can't control the world around me, at least I can control myself. And then other personalities hear self-control and they feel constrained, trapped, chained down, put in a box. I'm somewhere in the middle where I like being in control. I like having control, but when it gets to the point where I know it's completely out of my control, there's a peace. And I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna ride this wave and see where it takes us and, you know, put on my surfing gear and let's go. Like, I'm not gonna worry about it. I have peace in letting go and being out of control. So when I hear self-control, to me, most of the time it just feels really unreachable. Like, well, yeah, I know that I should have that and I should be that, but I can't. So I guess I'm not as good as everyone else that's better at self-control than I am. And as I've gotten older and matured in my walk with Christ, I've learned to put self-control in a different category. It's not something that earns me righteousness or burdens me or gives me peace, but as a gift that gives me freedom to be myself, to honor Christ, and to be emotionally well. So rewind for a second and think about some of the things that I said, because I actually threw out some really emotionally unhealthy thought patterns that I have and that other people have that maybe sound okay, but they're not really. Like, there's peace in being in control, or there's peace in letting go, associating self-control with chains, and not feeling as good as other people who are better at controlling themselves. All of those feelings and conclusions place peace and confidence in something other than Christ. If I can control my circumstances, if I can be as good as everyone else, those are the things that we'll achieve and we'll achieve peace and righteousness and joy and all of those good things. If we check off this ultimate Christian checklist that isn't even real, and so it isn't true. Our emotional wellness isn't based on our control or our lack of control. Self-control is a gift that protects us. It doesn't chain us. And it's not born from restricting our thoughts and our actions. It's born in the presence of God. As we draw near to Him, as we seek Him, as we try to learn who He is and what He came to do, the fruit that grows only in the presence of God then grows in our lives. Self-control is the reflection of Christ in us. It isn't the control itself that gives us peace, but we have peace and we have self-control, just like we have joy and righteousness and patience and all those other things in a steady flow from the heart of Christ. As we connect with Him, the fruit of the Holy Spirit pours into us. Just like any other gift of the Holy Spirit, though, it has to be practiced. It's a gift that is given, but it's also taught. And there are so many things that are after our emotional wellness, and it's so understandable to know, to just like want to give up and give in and let the waves wash over you, especially when you're in a wave of anxiety or depression. It's hard to get up. It's hard to keep going. It's hard to do the things that you know to do, that you need to do to be well. For me, it's taking a mental health walk every day. I live in Massachusetts. It's cold 80% of the year, and I absolutely, absolutely hate going on a walk every day because it means putting on my winter gear. Most months, I have to put on my jacket and my hat and my gloves and my little ski mask thing and my boots and put my hands in my pockets and get little hand warmers and walk around the neighborhood. And there isn't one single morning where I'm like, yes, I can't wait to go on my mental health walk today. I absolutely loathe it, except when the weather's nice, then I'm like, yes, I get to go out of the house and get away from my kids for a little bit. But most months of the year, I don't enjoy it, but it helps. I hate that it helps, but it does help. It's one of those things that I know that I have to do to be well. So I always think of the verse, it's in John chapter 5, and Jesus walks up to this guy, he's crippled, he's laying on a mat, and he's at this well, this spring that shoots up. And at the time, these people believed that if you were the first person to get to the water when the spring shot up, that you would be healed. And he's laying there crippled for, I think, 38 years, 35 years, something like that. And he was never able to get to the water first because nobody would carry him to the water to be the first one to get in the water. So Jesus walks up to him and he says, hey, friend, do you want to be well? And the guy says, well, yeah, but nobody will bring me to the mat so I can be the first one in the water. And Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. And the guy did. He just got up and walked. And that passage has been used to shame people. And maybe if you have that association, you might already feel shame just from me saying the story, because you're like, okay, I know what she's going to do. She's going to tell me to put on my boots, and she's going to tell me to just bootstrap my way into being emotionally well. That is not what I'm going to do, because I know that that is not a thing that we can do. So please don't feel shame when you hear the things that I'm saying, because this isn't, God's word should never be used to shame anybody, ever. What people do when they use that passage is they try to simplify, if they're using it talking to you who struggle with something, with the illness that can't be seen, with a disability that can't be physically seen, and they simplify it by saying, just get up, just be well, just get out of bed, just go on a walk. Because people who have never struggled with these things can't possibly understand what it's like to not be able to get out of bed, not because you can't walk, but because you're just sad and you feel heavy and you feel anxious. You can't leave your house because you're afraid. You spiral into panic because you think you're gonna die, or you think somebody you love is gonna die. Those things are so hard for people who haven't experienced them to understand. And so they look at this verse and then they look at you constantly struggling with your mental health, and they say, do you even wanna be well? But I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. And when I think about that passage, I think about what is the equivalent here for me? Because obviously I'm not physically disabled. I can walk, but I'm also not fully well. So what would Jesus say to me looking at my struggles? What would my mat be? If he said, pick up your mat and walk, what would that mat be for me? What do I need to do to take a step in the direction of faith, of trust and healing, of self-control? What is my mat? And I think for everybody, it's gonna be different. It's very personal. All of our healing journeys are gonna look different, and they're gonna go at a different pace. Our personalities are different. We are designed so differently. We come from different places and different backgrounds. Things that might be really helpful for me might be a trigger for you. So I don't think it's wise or helpful for me to say, here are the things you can do to exercise self-control in your life and get 5 steps closer to being emotionally well, because the things that I do might not actually work for you. So I'm not going to do that. What I will say is that the point of all of this, the point of walking towards wellness, is to draw closer to Christ. And as you draw closer to him, he will strengthen you for the journey ahead. And it is a journey, and sometimes it is a roller coaster, but he will strengthen you, he'll equip you, and he'll increase your capacity to endure the things that you need to endure as you draw closer to him. So just remember that self-control isn't a burden, and it isn't meant to restrict your fun or your joy or your peace. It's a result of a life surrendered to Christ and submitted to the work of the Spirit in your own life. It's a gift given to us so that we can reflect the heart of Christ and care for ourselves well, which will then equip and enable us to care for others well too. The world around us, cheers for impulsivity and self-indulgence, but those aren't healthy things. Those are actually really emotionally unhealthy things. It's a sign of weakness, not strength, to be self-indulgent and impulsive. Your strength is in Christ, and so your peace is in him too. Practice self-control as you practice being in the presence of God. That is all I have for you today. I hope you get well soon.
I realized that earlier I did say something about practicing caution when it comes to meeting friends on the internet. And then I told you guys about a friend of mine that I met on the internet. And what I want you to know is that I'm about to tell you about another friend of mine that I met on the internet. Her name is A. Margot Blair. She's a wife, a mom, has her master's degree in theology with an emphasis on youth and family ministry. And she regularly teaches women how to find freedom in Christ, dismantle self-defeating habits, and grow in spiritual maturity. She is really about practical tips and even implementing some of her own story as a way to encourage women on a daily basis. And I know that there are some guys listening to this too, but whoever is listening, I promise that you will take something away from these words from A. Margot Blair.
Hey there, I have one question for you. What does it look like for you to put patience into practice? I'm excited to continue this discussion on emotional wellness and mental health as it pertains to the fruit of the Spirit. We're gonna be talking about patience. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, we are able to gain an understanding of what exactly the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, in verse 22, we learn that the fruit of the Spirit is the result of God's presence within us. Halfway through verse 22, we see the word patience. In the Amplified translation, it expounds and explains patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. So what we can gather here is patience in regard to the fruit of the Spirit is our beliefs, the habits we put into practice while we're waiting for God's perfect timing, and the decisions we make. Are we able to be disciplined in our decision-making while we are waiting for God to be at work in and through our lives? Now, as we talk about patience, I'm going to share a personal challenge that I experienced, but then I'm going to connect it to some practical strategies that you can apply to your life today. As we're talking about patience, it's really important to take a moment to look at your situation objectively. 2 months ago, my family and I relocated and we thought we found our home. Now, when we rented this property, we had a plan in place to be able to purchase the home. But about a week later, we receive a knock at the door and we discovered that this property not only had one owner, it had two. Over the course of the next several weeks, we began to realize that this was not going to be the home for our family as we hoped. Here's the honest truth. This situation was so challenging. Not only were we trying to build our home, but I was navigating space as a wife, a mama of three, including a toddler. And I'm on this journey through my doctoral program. So when I wasn't in fetal position, crying, wondering what God was doing in this situation, we were realizing that God was doing a transformative work in and through our lives. And when we are having this discussion around patience, we have to be willing to look at our situations from an objective standpoint, not being so up close to our situations where we're not able to hear God, where we're not able to be sensitive to the Spirit in order to move when and as God says move. I also want to connect it to obedience. Now, obedience means to hear, to listen, and to trust. These three elements are so important when we're talking about putting patience into practice. Now, your situation may not be relocating two times in 1 month. Today, we are in this beautiful B&B for the next 30 days because we are waiting with expectancy. We are waiting for God to show up as He promised. But we had to make an intentional decision to not outpace God and move before He said move, because that would be us interfering with the process. So though your situation may look different, what does this mean for you? How do you actually go about putting patience into practice? I have four practical steps for you. The first is be willing to surrender. This looks like you relinquishing control back to God. Number two, when pressure is being applied, be willing to apply pressure right back. Number three, learn to focus. This means follow one course until successful so that you can lead from a place of rest. That's number four. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as you begin to put patience into practice.
One of the first voices that I hear in the morning is Ekimini Uwan. She is a public theologian and an author and a podcast host. And one of my favorite shows that she is the co-host of is Get in the Word with Truth's Table. It's a daily podcast that started in January of this year where they go through the Word of God. And the episodes are like not too long, not too short. It's so good. I love to start my mornings off with an episode. I'm going to be honest. I'm human. Sometimes I forget. But no matter when you start the show, like whatever part of the year, whatever part of the day, it's always so inspiring. Ekimini's voice and her writings, they've been published in like The Atlantic, The Washington Post, The Huffington Post, Black Voices, Christianity Today, NPR, CNN, and now the Jamie Grace podcast. And I'm honestly just so, so genuinely grateful that she would share her words with all of us. I've listened to this multiple times and it has blessed me truly. And I know that I know that if you'll just take a moment, take a deep breath, and listen to these words that she shares with you, that you will be blessed and encouraged too.
Hi, my name is Ekimini Uwan. I'm a public theologian, co-host of Truth's Table podcast, and co-author of Truth's Table, Black Women's Musings on Life, Love, and Liberation. When I think about the word faithfulness, actually, ironically, that is my word for 2022. Sometimes I try to start off the year not with resolutions so much, but more so commitments toward the start of a new year, or something that I might feel like the Spirit of the Lord is just stirring up within me. And faithfulness has been the word that resonated with my spirit this year. And so that is a word that, and not only just a word, but I guess a lifestyle that I've tried to cultivate through my years of being a Christian and walking with the Lord. And it is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Because it's not something that it can be done in our own strength. We can start off strong. We have commitments to ourselves and plans that we make, but after a while we fall off the wagon, and even we break our own promises to ourselves, right? And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us to stay faithful. So faithfulness for me, when I think about faithfulness, I think about consistency and discipline, words that some people might not exactly like too much, or words that might even trigger people. But I don't want to lose you there in that. When I talk about discipline and consistency, it's not necessarily me willing myself into faithfulness, but it's more so the Spirit working in me to help and to will and to do according to God's good pleasure. And so I think about the fact that when we talk about faithfulness, I think about partnering with God in the work of sanctification. And sanctification is making us more and more like Jesus, right? It is progressive, but it is not linear.
And so we go up and we go down. Even when we're cultivating the fruits of the spirit of faithfulness, we're going to fall off. We're sometimes not going to keep all of our commitments. But there's grace for that. Faithfulness, I think it's one that term and that fruit of the spirit resonated with me, because I had been sowing, by God's grace, been trying to sow seeds faithfully for many, many years, honestly, for the duration, I would say, of my public ministry, trying to really be faithful to what God's called me to. And I've done so at great cost to myself. There were bags that I've turned down, opportunities that never came my way because of what God has called me to do, particularly with Truth Table and speaking up against anti-Black violence, right, and the uplift of Black people around the globe. And so those are costly topics to talk about, and so they're not always so popular. People are not always flocking to book you, if you will. And so I've done that faithfully and have really tried to stay faithful to the call. Honestly, it's faithfulness, and I'm asking God, like, help me to be faithful. Show me how to be faithful in this, even when it's hard. And it is oftentimes hard. But I know that God does reward faithfulness. And I think that's been my word this year, because it has been a bit of a struggle. And I'm wondering, like, God, I know that you said you reward faithfulness and that obedience is better than sacrifice, and that you reward obedience, but it's hard when you haven't seen the harvest. It's hard when you haven't seen the reward yet. And so that I've just been trying to faithfully plant the seeds that God has given me to plant, and plant them in good soil, and believe that God will bring the return. And so not just a seed for a seed, but sheaves, right? That, as it's spoken about in Psalm 126. And so sowing not only in tears, but sowing in hard work, and sowing in labor, sowing in prayer, and believing that the return will come. And sometimes the return comes in ways that we couldn't predict, we couldn't imagine, in ways that maybe we didn't expect, but the prayer really is that the Lord would give me eyes to see when that harvest does come, and that it would be obvious when it does come. But I think faithfulness, another piece of part of faithfulness, is that it requires patience. And so between the promise, and the manifestation and the fulfillment of that promise is patience, right? It's so important. Cliff Dwenger said this on his gospel ride on Peloton the other day, but he talked about how but between purpose and promise is patience. And I think patience and faithfulness meet together, and they hold hands together, if you will, until that promise or the manifestation of that reward, of that desired outcome that you have, or that goal that you have in mind, comes to fruition. I think that truly it is patience that is definitely what undergirds faithfulness, because oftentimes it's years and years of planting and not seeing that harvest. But faithfulness, I think, is a key. And so what also helps me to stay faithful to what I've been called to do is, like I said, consistency and discipline. So for me, and just practically, what has also helped me on my mental health journey is fitness. So that's really, really important to me. I start my day off very early in the morning, at 4:45 in the morning. I get up, reluctantly, but I get up at 4:45 in the morning, and I get up and I work out. That is the way that I start my day. It helps to really reorient me, right? Because I'm tired and disheveled, right, that early in the morning. But it really helps to start my day off right. And of course, get the physiological benefits of working out. Those endorphins get going, right? So it kind of, helps with your brain health and your outlook. And so I've seen the benefits with regard to mental health from working out, and just being able to stay consistent and caring for my temple in that way. But if working out is not accessible to you, or is not able, if you're not able to do that, maybe you have a disability, or maybe you're just not, you don't have the means or the ability to do that with maybe your current living situation, then perhaps meditation, prayer, absolutely prayer, but also meditation, thinking about recalling the goodness of the Lord. And so gratitude, keeping a gratitude journal, that's really great for your mental health as well. Gets those endorphins going as well too. That thankfulness and that gratitude is so good for you and for your own longevity and outlook on life. And so those are, I think, some practical ways I think that faithfulness shows up in your life. And so creating a discipline of some sort, whatever that discipline might be for you, for me, it might not be working out for you. It might be the gratitude journal. It might be meditation. It might be first thing in the morning before my feet hit the ground, I'd say, good morning, Jesus, as my grandmama says. Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for waking me up this morning. You know, and just counting your blessings and naming them one by one. Can we be faithful with those things? And so being faithful over little and trusting that God will make you faithful over the greater. So those are some of the things that come to mind, some of the practices that I incorporate when it comes to faithfulness, and just consistency for me is key. Of course, there's times that I miss it, times that I'm like, I can't do it, you know, today. And that's okay. That's great. There's grace for that. There's no need to punish yourself or get down on yourself. You just get back up again. There is grace for those moments. So that is what's helped me on my mental health journey. And faithfulness, that is my word for the year. And if this has been helpful, then maybe that can be your word for the year too. It doesn't matter. You didn't have to start in January. You can start right now. That's okay. We have the ability to begin again because of the grace that Jesus Christ has given us in the gospel, that we receive in the gospel. We can begin again. So I pray that faithfulness would continue or begin to be made evident in your lives.
My friend Mo is about to give you three practical tips for how to live out gentleness in your everyday life. Mo Jackson is amazing. She's a talented producer, musician, dancer, singer. She sings in a group with her sisters based out of Memphis, Tennessee, called Jackson Avenue, and she is full of so much life. When we hang out, we are laughing so loud and just, it's amazing. And then she sits down and talks about gentleness in this poetic and beautiful way. I'm excited for you all to listen to Mo Jackson talk about gentleness.
So what comes to mind when I think about gentleness as one of the fruits of the Spirit? Naturally, the first thing that I think about is humility and how I believe it's not really possible to walk in gentleness if you're not practicing or making a daily effort to walk in humility. As I know that different things come up in our lives and the way we interact with people, and it's not always easy to walk in gentleness, let alone humility. So that's one of the first thing that comes to mind. And I think about, there are two verses in the book of James, chapter 4, and it just talks about how God opposes the proud, but he gives grace, which we all need, to the humble. And so I think that's one of the big reasons why I think about humility and the huge part I believe it plays in extending gentleness or living out gentleness in our everyday life. And another verse in that chapter 4, it also talks about humbling yourself and how when you humble yourself at the right time, God will lift you up. So you don't have to worry about working things out for yourself or speaking up on certain things if people are saying a certain thing or thinking a certain way or whatever about you. God will exalt you if you humble yourself and react in a way that is pleasing in his sight, if you react in a way that honors him. And sometimes it takes taking a step back and not just reacting out of your own emotions. Sometimes it takes thinking about what we say and do first and responding in a way that is pleasing, you know, to God. And so humility, that's a huge thing in living out gentleness in everyday life. And another thing that I think about in practically expressing gentleness in our everyday life, I think of three things. And the first thing is grace, and how extending grace is such a huge thing, because it's something that we constantly need from God every minute of every day, of every second that we're on this earth. Grace is so important. So not only do we need it from God, but we need it from the people that we come across in everyday life, whether it's our friends or our family or people that we might not like as much. Grace is such a huge thing that we need, but also need to extend to others. So I think that's a huge point in extending and practicing gentleness in everyday life. So the second point is loving beyond what you think or feel someone is worthy of or what they deserve, you know, which, you know, naturally I think about what Jesus has done for us. You know, we every day, you know, we may say something or do something that may not be, you know, just making mistakes or whatever it may look like, but God's grace and his love, what Jesus did on the cross for us and us being able to receive Jesus dying on the cross for us for our sins, things that we did that have offended God, that covers us. And so that love is so important, loving beyond what we think or believe people may deserve. And the last thing is prayer. Prayer is huge because we're gonna need it, you know, and when walking out this walk of gentleness, we need to pray, to ask God for wisdom, to ask him for the strength, and to for Holy Spirit to remind us in being conscious of living out gentleness and how we live and what we say and what we do. So yeah, I think about prayer. So those three things, I'll say them again: extending grace, loving beyond what we think people may deserve, and prayer. So those are my three things as far as, you know, practical tips. God's desire for our emotional wellness. When I think about that, I think about, there's a scripture that says, it's escaping me right in this moment, but I think it's going to come back to me if you give me like 2 seconds. God's desire for us is to prosper and be in health. And I know that this scripture wasn't specifically written by God or written by Jesus, like as far as like the person actually wrote it, but in the word, it tells us that everything that's written in the word is written by direct inspiration from God, from the Holy Spirit. So we can take it on as God saying it. So I just want to preface with that. But it says that his desire for us is to prosper and be in health. And I believe that it's talking about overall wellness, not just physical or however you want to think about it. But I believe our emotional wellness is important to God as well. So it's not about everything panning out perfectly or putting on a front as far as like how you feel emotionally and things like that, but really taking the things that you may be going through, taking them to God and seeing what the Word of God says about the different things that we may go through, and allowing the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, allowing the Holy Spirit to help you to grow and see things in a way that God is really wanting you to see them in that moment. So that's something that I think about as far as God's desire for our emotional wellness. Again, I'll say it's not about perfection, but it's really about humility. That comes back to me again, letting the Word of God teach us and help us to evolve into the men and women that God created us to be. And so, yeah, those are my thoughts on gentleness. And I pray that there's something in there that you can take with you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Grace Podcast. This special series called So Soil was so special to me, is so special to me, and I'm just so grateful that you all come along with me on this journey of talking about pop culture and mental health and these special series that we get to do, but also for your grace and your patience as I continue to be a fighter, just to very cheesily quote one of my own songs. I continue to fight through the challenges of the realities of dealing with mental health. And a lot of times, you know, these things are a part of our emotional wellness, right? There are things that we can do to prevent certain things, but a lot of times for some of us as well, it's the reality of our illness. And so I'm grateful for your grace, grateful for your patience, and grateful for your support, whether that's rating the show on Spotify or iTunes, or supporting the show on Patreon, or connecting with me on social media at Jamie Grace H. All of the voices that you've heard in part two and part one, you can also connect with them on social media. Their Instagrams are easily accessible in the show notes or the description if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you so much again for listening. Much love to all of you. Have an absolutely beautiful weekend, and I will see you guys soon. Okay, bye.